What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, National Honor Society for Sports Medicine. This week, our special guest is Eli Halleck. Eli is one of the founders of the National Honor Society for Sports Medicine. And then also joining us is Kat Marr. Catherine Marr is the recently retired president of GHATS and also just finishing up her first year with the National Honor Society for Sports Medicine. So we're going to get to talk to Eli about the origins and the process, and then talk firsthand from Kat Marr about her experience with the process. So if you want to join the conversation, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. That's where it's live on the homepage. The YouTube link will be there. This one, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/NHS. So NHS for National Honor Society, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/NHS. All right, without much further ado, Eli, talk about the NHS for sports medicine. Where did it start and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, wow. Well, first off, Jeremy, thank you for having us. And Kat, thank you for connecting Jeremy with me. The National Honor Society of Sports Medicine is a real, it's another one of the children that I created many years ago. We've done a lot of things at St. Francis High School in La Cañada, California. And this all came from an idea several years back. I think it was 2006. While sitting at graduation, I watched one of our linemen receive a National Scholar Honor Award for German because of his ability in speaking German. And I walked up to him afterwards, congratulated him, gave him a big hug because he spent tons of time in the training room. So I knew him really well and asked him, how did he obtain that? Because we don't have German at our school. I looked at him, Wendell, you know, this is great and all. He's like, oh, I'm 100% fluent in it. My parents are from Germany. So I took the AP test and passed it. So I got honors at graduation. And I'm part of the National Honor Society of German because I passed the AP exam. And I looked at him and congratulated him, said, that's great. And thought to myself, man, my students do a lot more work than just take an AP test. There's got to be a way to give our sports med kids recognition. And after talking with a couple colleagues and doing a lot of research, I realized there was no honor society at all in the field of sports medicine nationally. So I started to formulate a plan, talked to a couple colleagues that I knew were as crazy as I am, and develop the protocols, the constitution, and started creating the framework for the National Honor Society of Sports Medicine. The first year we started, we had, ironically, 13 chapters, so kind of like the original 13 colonies of this great nation. And we've grown to nearly 70 chapters across the nation, as far east as North Carolina, south as Texas, north as Idaho and Washington, and as far west as, well, California. So we've got chapters across the nation in several different states. I believe we're up to 12 states now. And our whole goal is to get recognition to the students in our programs that work so hard at taking care of their peers, assisting the athletic trainers in their day-to-day duties, and assisting others in the healthcare field when they go off campus to assist with first aid and other responsibilities. We started in 2007. My colleague Cindy Kramer, Notre Dame High School in Sherman Oaks, California, was my other co-conspirator when we sat down and really created everything. And between the two of us and her skill set, it really helped us fine tune what we were hoping to do. And we welcomed in a good friend of ours who's now in Virginia. Her name's Ellen Payne, and she is our treasurer and has been ever since. We have two new board members, one Jessica Trow at Damien High School in California, and another one, Nikki Clark, out of Idaho. She is our historian. So that's kind of the origins of where it came from, and it's really evolved into a service organization. And it actually took on a second facet this year that I'm sure we'll talk about a little later. So that's kind of the origin of it.
All right. So what does it look like a day and or a week in the life of a National Honor Society for Sports Medicine?
You know, we really took what we did with our students already and turned it into an organization. And that's usually one of the biggest questions from a lot of chapter advisors. Well, what will we have to do different? Really, there isn't much because we're already doing so much. And our goal, Cindy and myself and Ellen and the entire board was to give recognition back to the students who work so hard at assisting us in the healthcare arena. So the day-to-day operations of a athletic trainer in healthcare period, you have all your students there helping you out. This gives us an opportunity throughout the year to highlight them and show the community, show the administration, show the coaches, show their peers what they're doing and how hard they work academically, you know, what they take out of their social schedule to take care of their peers and assist us in healthcare. So it's really no different than what we're already doing, the day-to-day teaching, the day-to-day healthcare opportunities, whether that's in the sports medicine facility, at a game, or out in a clinic if you have, we have some, not contracts, but agreements with other organizations and other institutions that we can send our students to. So it's just highlighting what they've done in the day-to-day operations of the school, healthcare, and assisting us as athletic trainers in our profession.
Gotcha. Okay, so if somebody wants to create a National Honor Society, so Kat, this is where you'll be able to jump in too, but Eli, tell me, what are the requirements? Am I going to have to pay money? Am I going to have to create this constitution like you were talking about? What are those requirements?
Really, the first thing is we ask that every school that wants to join the organization have an athletic trainer. That's really a push by the board. We want to make sure that there is an athletic trainer either on site or as a liaison to the organization. There are many schools across the nation using non-certified, non-licensed, non-registered ATs in the classroom. And we're not saying that those individuals don't know what they're doing. What we're saying is, in our arena, we believe athletic trainers are the best to be teaching students about healthcare in our profession. So first off, you need an athletic trainer or a co-signing athletic trainer for the organization. There is a application that you would do, a very simple application process. You would go to the initials of our organization, nhssm.org, and download the application. There is a initial fee of minimum $50 to apply, maximum of $110. And really the difference is the application, if you join the organization, you would obtain a chapter certificate, chapter credential. If you would like it, the charter, as I call it, the chapter charter, mounted on a real nice plaque and sent to you, then it's a little extra, and that's the $110. But it's an annual fee of $50 going forward. So we kept it really inexpensive, unlike other organizations that really, I hate to say, use the word fleece, but when you're charging students $20, $30, sometimes $40 a pop, education is hard to come by nowadays financially. You know, it's hard to find the money to keep programs going. Our thought was keep it inexpensive, just have an annual fee for the chapter of $50 and keep it at that. So if it comes out of our own pocket, it doesn't hurt. And many of our colleagues just in California have said, you know what, we're going to just pay it out of our own pocket. If admin doesn't want to pay, great. If they reimburse us, great. So we're helping our colleagues pay it forward to their students. So it's an annual $50 fee. We ask that the students and the chapter advisor do at least one annual community service project. So for myself, at our school, we do a couple things. One, we do an annual blood drive. For this year, we started doing it for Children's Hospital LA. We host a huge seminar in conjunction with the Los Angeles Clippers down at Staples Center, just to kind of highlight sports medicine and get the word out what athletic trainers are, what the field of sports medicine is, and highlight healthcare as a profession for teenagers to hopefully drive somebody to go into it. And then we always try and get volunteers to assist with junior high events. So we might help do the first aid at a junior high softball, baseball, soccer tournament, flag football tournament, or we've actually gone into the community and taught with our students, you know, first aid, CPR to the junior high level. So, you know, giving back to the community is one of our key concepts.
Gotcha. All right, Kat.
Yes, sir.
Can you talk about your experience just with the application process?
Just like Eli said, it's very, very easy. I had heard about it on Facebook, went and researched it. I downloaded the application. I paid actually the $120 because we got a nice little plaque. We started that in 2015, mid-year 2015. So we really didn't have a chapter until the end, 2016. This is actually our second year with our chapter. Filled out the application, talked to my principal, who was all gung-ho, very supportive. Mr. Randy Kirk has been very supportive of trying to increase our exposure here at Klein Collins. So we had just recently adopted the Sports Medicine 3 curriculum. And with the component with Sports Medicine 3, I thought that the National Honor Society would go very well with that, seeing as our Sports Medicine 3 students are normally juniors when they take it, some seniors. But this is a natural progression from our student athletic training program, trying to get other athletes, other students into our realm of sports medicine, athletic training in particular. So it was a very simple 5-minute process. Sent that in, got approved, and then we were off and running. So it was very painless. I would highly suggest to everybody to go ahead and get that done. It just adds a little bit more exposure to what you're already doing anyways. So gives the kids that opportunity to put something else on their resume. Klein Oak also went ahead after we did that here at Klein Collins. Klein Oak follows suit. So there's actually two chapters in our district.
All right, Kat, beyond your principal, has any of the administration beyond that heard of, caught wind of that you created a new National Honor Society?
Oh, yeah. Once we've got approved through Eli and the board, I plastered that out all through Klein ISD. I also contacted Miss Mooney, who's in charge of our HST program here. And so she's one of our advisors, our chapter advisors. We have an athletic trainer who actually is an assistant principal at Klein Collins, Mr. Cheney. I asked him to be one of the administrator, the advisors, as well as one of our associates in charge of curriculum, Miss Mandy Land. So we have administration support as well as them in our organization, because you kind of actually have to set up that structure ahead of time so that you know who's the officers, who are the faculty advisors, that type of stuff. That's all online on their website. If you go through their constitution, it kind of says that. So what I did is I downloaded that in my research, and of course I highlighted what I needed to do and made my list of who I needed to kind of get on board. And they all said yes, because they don't have to do anything. I do everything. So they were like, absolutely. And I was just like, I just need your name and, you know, come to our banquet. And I tweet out, I let Klein ISD know what we're doing, some of our service projects, what the kids are doing to try to, again, increase positivity in our sports medicine area. Because, of course, we're behind the scenes. We don't like to tell people what we're doing. Like in previous podcasts, we need to get our name out there in a positive way. And so this is one way that I feel that we can do that, that's centered on our students, not just our student athletic trainers, but our curriculum program.
Great. Eli, what are some of the advantages that you've seen for the students? You've been doing this for a little while. Has this helped any of them get into programs, get scholarships, or anything like that?
You know, it's been interesting. Having these students exposed to healthcare in such a way, we've seen a huge increase in our students going into healthcare. Now, I work at an all-boys Catholic school, and we've actually seen a huge increase in nursing students, so which goes against the norm. But we've had, we did a small study about 10 years ago. This is my 18th or 19th year. I lose track of teaching this class at St. Francis. And we've at the time were about 12% of our students that took the curriculum ended up in healthcare in the end, certified, licensed, registered, whatever their choice was. But what we've seen since kind of anecdotally just talking with different students on Facebook and everything else through our alumni association, we're seeing an increase to about 20% of our students that have taken our class, gotten into the Honor Society, are so ambitious moving into healthcare that it's bumped up approximately 8%. We're about 20% of our students that are in the Honor Society, in the program, are going into healthcare in the long run. So what we've noticed is this is really pushing them, and they're finding their niche in life, whether that is athletic training. Anecdotally and ironically, we hired a second athletic trainer here a year and a half ago, and it was a student that graduated our program in 2004, went to a local ATEP program, graduated, and when we opened up the position, he was a head athletic trainer at another institution. He was my first call. So it is kind of just neat to see the students evolve from a high school student who kind of gets it into a healthcare professional, whether it's nursing, paramedic, EMT. We've had several PAs, nurse practitioners, athletic trainers, physical therapists. We have one that's applying to med school right now. So it really just opens their mind to healthcare. And that's the ultimate goal. We would love them to be athletic trainers and become our personal peers. But if nothing else, they're going into healthcare and they know what we do. So they can help us in the future spread the word and let other doctors, other athletic trainers, other neurologists dealing with concussions know that athletic trainers are healthcare professionals and we know what we're doing. So it's been a real nice way to watch the evolution of our educational process here in California. And as I've done this since 2007, just the evolution nationally has been so fun to be part of.
Okay. Kat, kind of the same question there. What have you seen so far with being the advantages to the students and then also to you as a professional and then the program or athletic training in general?
Well, again, this is only our second year. We have one graduating class last year, and we didn't really graduate too many, which is good. Most of them were incoming juniors. So hopefully, as we progress through our program, we're going to see that. But most of our kids do graduate and go on. I want to say maybe about 80% go on to the healthcare. We do have a lot of nurses, like Eli said, that go in. But again, it is a way to get the child involved. And I'm seeing, especially this year, an increase in the interest for the class, but also for the club and the National Honor Society from non-student athletic trainers. At my school, it's very difficult to be an athlete and a student athletic trainer because we don't have an off season and we kind of rotate. So once their sport is done, maybe a football player can come second semester for my course. However, in between that, while they're doing football, volleyball, cross country, baseball, what have you, they can be part of the club, the National High School Sports Medicine Association, which we started this year, and we've really increased our membership in that regard. And then hopefully I'll see them transition into the National Honor Society. And of course, take our sports medicine 1, 2, and 3 course at Klein Collins. That's an elective, so that even an athlete, I open that up, even an athlete can take that. We only have 2 sections right now, so we have actually cut over 120 kids each year. Last year, it was like 140 kids that we actually had to cut out of the sports medicine 1 class. So as we grow, we're actually growing a lot more than we can handle since we can only teach so many courses with athletics as an athletic trainer. So I'm hoping that with this class, with this courses, with the National Honor Society, with the club and everything, we can get an additional staff member on to just teach the courses. Because we can fill it up at Klein Collins. We can teach 5, 6 courses and have them full. So hopefully if we can do that, and we've partnered with HST our membership will continue to grow. We have over 2030, which is quite large for us being the second year.
All right, Kat, we're going to come back to the club part, but Eli, you mentioned doing part of the requirements for the NAHS are doing this roughly the same things that we do already with our students. But let me just make sure, you know, I mean, obviously people don't do all the same. There's plenty of schools that don't have student programs. So tell me what it looks like a normal, the normal activities for NHS, or is this just your sports medicine three kids, or just more detail on what that means, what the requirements are, what that activity looks like for you.
You got it. No problem. So a normal student that is in the Honor Society is mandated to do minimum 30 hours of service. Now, that doesn't sound like much to some schools. What we've noticed nationally as we've been polling our 70 schools and 70 chartered institutions is that the average range is from about 20 hours of what we call internship, you know, when we go back to the athletic training part of our lifestyle. Most schools will go anywhere from 20 hours minimum to 200 hours minimum across the nation. That's what we have noticed. We have seen a few that actually mandate 300 to 400 hours in an academic year of volunteer or service. And that's because those schools have been tied in financially to minimum hours, which at a school is of my academic, our academic institution, if I mandated 200 to 300 hours, my administration would fire me. That's just too much. I'll be flat out. Our students already have to do, depending on the year, academic year, X amount of service hours every academic year. So they're already adding a minimum of 30 hours to their program by being in our class. So it varies from school to school, but here at St. Francis, on top of their mandatory service hours for the school, they must volunteer 30 hours over the course of two semesters, which doesn't sound like much, but in the day-to-day operations of a high school student, you know, with academic loads and work and everything else, that adds up. So they have to volunteer 30 hours either in the training room assisting myself or our other athletic trainers at practice. They can assist us at games. They also have the option of taking a percentage. We allow them to do 7% or 7 hours out of the 30 offsite at other locations as long as they're shadowing healthcare professionals. In that time, they might be actually doing the hands-on healthcare assisting us with maybe a first aid situation, emergency medical situation, treatment or rehabilitation of injured athlete. We've had students at football games assist us with compound fractures, activating EMS and showing the paramedics where we are and assisting us in stabilization. It all depends on the day. They also come in and because it's a component of their class, they'll shadow evaluations, treatment and procedures. And part of the curriculum is also an educational portfolio. So what they see on a day-to-day basis, they write about. So when we sit down at the end of the year, they see their evolution of education from day one to day 186. Now with that, they give 30 hours of service, basically giving back to the community and or the peers. And in the process, they also have to do a service project personally, which a lot of our students will go out and help with different things. It might be a junior high football tournament, like I've talked about before. We've done guest lecturing at other junior highs, and the students will go with us and show them the hands-on skill set. It might be first aid procedures for sling of a shoulder. It might be first aid procedures for taking care of a fracture. But it's something in their skill set that they've been taught and quote-unquote certified in through the Health and Safety Institute, and or things we've taught them in class that we believe are appropriate for them to pass on information. And at that point, they've done that. They've done the community service component, and then they assist at our big community service project, whatever that is that year. We've, like I've said, the big one that we help host between Notre Dame High School and St. Francis High School is the high school sports medicine symposium at Staples Center every year, which is about a 6-hour process. And last year we had the president of the NATA, Scott Saylor, there as a guest speaker. That was awesome. That was so fun. Having Scott come in and talk at the center was just incredible. We also usually have a couple physicians or other athletic trainers that come in and talk about the profession, talk about specific injuries, and educate the students. At the same time, after all that's done, we do a three-hour hands-on skill session on the floor of Staples Center. So all the students are getting their hands dirty on practicing different skill sets, BOSU ball, basketball shooting. So they stand on a BOSU and try and make a shot. They're learning core stabilization from a PT. They're learning PNF from an AT. They might have a special little diagnostic skill set presented by a physician on the floor. So we have about 20 different skill sessions, and our students are educated throughout. Last year, we welcomed 1,600 students from 3 different states. So it depends on the day what the students are doing. But any given day, we'll have 3 to 12 students in the training room, the athletic medical facility, assisting us with the day-to-day operations and healthcare of not just our student athletes, but students in general. We also take care of a lot of the, because we're the all boys school, we'll see sisters sometimes come in with parents and ask for assistance. So they might help us with that. We take care of a lot of our teachers all the time, treatment, rehabilitation, like all of us. And the students realize it's not just a field specialized in athletes only. We are a complete healthcare system in and of ourselves. So it kind of opens their eyes to really how to take care of everyone in the healthcare situation. And they get to be a little hands-on at those times that are appropriate.
I got you. So that sounds a lot like what we do here. Kat, on that same note, did you have to change or add anything into your normal routine? Because everything he's talking about, we have GHATs or we have service opportunities where I have the mass CPR training here. We have taught stuff at schools or, we've been doing tutoring after school for some kids and stuff like that. So, Kat, have you had to add anything in to meet these requirements?
No, actually, when he was saying, if I went over such and such amount of hours, I'd be fired. I went and I looked at my student athletic trainer timesheets. Every Monday, they have to turn in what I consider points, what they've covered over the past week. And most of my students have covered, for first semester, have covered in excess of 300 hours. So they're putting into the athletic training program about 300 hours in the first semester, football, volleyball, cross country, and of course, preseason football. We start August 1st. So between August 1st and the end of the, which was the Saturday of GHATs, they're putting in about 300 hours. Now, that being said, that's the athletic training team portion of it. That goes towards their Letterman's jacket, things of that nature. For me, at my school, I'm having them do an additional 10 hours or 5 as a junior that's not their assigned coverage. So if you are a JV or a varsity basketball student athletic trainer, of course, you're going to their games. You're scheduled for those games. If you want to come to wrestling or if you want to do an additional game, that can go towards your points for your Letterman's jacket and your certificate, or you can use that for your National Honor Society points. So we've kind of changed that a little bit for us because we're already having the students do that much. As a club and an honor society, we do have our service project. We've done a few. This past Christmas, we collected teddy bears for the EMS. When a child is injured, they like to give a very, very small stuffed animal to that child. It helps comfort them. So we collected those, donated that to our local EMS. Of course, we do the mass CPR training. In a couple weeks, in 2 weeks, we'll have a KleinCollins Hurricane Classic. All of the student trainers are required to cover their shift. But we're going to be opening it up to the club as well to get those service hours. So if you are a football player, this is your off season, you can come help us with the first aid tent and rotating each mat to help with that. So, I mean, there are other opportunities. I do know that Klein Oak, I believe, we're selling T-shirts for the disaster in Louisiana. I think they were raising money for that. So I believe that was their service project over at Klein Oak. We sent that out through GHATS. But our programs are real established here in the greater Houston area in Texas, being that we have the sports medicine courses, a little bit different than Eli over in California. So for us, again, I only do an additional 5 a semester for juniors and 10 for every 4 seniors for the National Honor Society, and the club an additional 5. So it doesn't seem like a lot, but with the 300 that they're already doing in our program, it's kind of hard to find an extra day.
All right, I got you. Okay, so Kat, somebody wants to start this up. At the beginning, you said that it only took you 5 or 10 minutes to kind of fill out the application process. And then you said you would highly recommend all athletic trainers in the secondary setting to do something similar. What are your some of your words of caution for someone who is going to start this?
Make sure you do your research so that you know what it entails, the steps. You don't want to just fire off your check and your application without actually having your foundation. So talk to your administration, see who you want as your faculty advisors. I've been very fortunate. Klein Collins always says yes. But again, personally in the athletic training room, I'm kind of doing it by myself. So is that realistic for you? Can you do that? Just you have to be very organized. We also find it very difficult to schedule club meetings because everybody's involved in so much. So what are you going to ask the students to do? And what is your purpose for the National Honor Society? Is it just to have something, to put your name on? Or is it, for me, for the kids? Give them the recognition. They're putting a lot of hours in. Helps them with their resume, helps them with their college applications, and gives them, again, that recognition because they don't really get that. We're in the background all the time. And so this kind of rewards their participation in this team. And then, of course, the other students who are not a part of our team that are part of our organization. So I would say have your clear, defined goals. Why are you doing this? For me personally, it was to help the students, give them that reward. They're putting in the time. Of course, they have to have the grades to be in my program, kind of a hard ass about that. So this gives them that reward. Why am I doing that except for my letterman's jacket and to be part of the Klein Collins family? I'm National Honor Society. I'm part of the club. That helps their resume and that helps them say, look, I'm getting some reward, something for all the time I'm putting back in. So if you look at it for the children, for your students, then I think you'll be fine. And I'm not doing anything really different. I'm having a meeting a month. And of course we're making sure everybody turns in their dues, the first couple weeks, get the t-shirt ordered, but that's what we're doing with, our sports medicine team anyway. So it's just an additional t-shirt order. We're already teaching all of the courses, so we're really here at Klein Collins. I'm not doing that much extra, just a little bit. So I think it's doable for everybody.
Okay, so you said that they got to turn in their money to get the t-shirt order. So tell me just briefly, what are the dues there for you, Kat, and then Eli will go to you, and then like, are you paying for the t-shirt out of the dues? How does all that work?
Well, no. The dues are $20 a year for the National Honor Society, $5 for the club. And for the National Honor Society, that gives them their pin, our pin. I will go ahead. We'll do a fundraiser, and with that fundraising money, we have a joint banquet last year, and of course we're planning on this year, a joint banquet, National Honor Society, we will include the club and the student athletic trainers at the end of the year. They have to pay for their own t-shirts. We just don't have the built-up funds for that, as you know, Jeremy. We're not financially rolling in it. But our shirts, our National Honor Society shirts, came out really well. And I have a friend who helps us with the cost of that. So it was only, I think, $15 for a shirt. And that was just a National Honor Society shirt. We didn't do a club shirt, which hopefully next year we'll do a club shirt and a National Honor Society shirt. But it was just a little bit too much with everything that I had going on. But the kids love getting a shirt, and they'll pay $20 for a shirt with their name on the back. And so we put all the officers' names on the back and all the National Honor Society members. So you put the child's name on the back and they'll buy the shirt. We just didn't sell it as a fundraiser. We sold it at cost. So, and I have I'm going to get an order in for additional pins and the graduation medal. So that will come out of our actual activity account. I have set up one that's different from athletic trainers. I've set up an activity account just for National Honor Society. So any of the funds that we do for the National Honor Society / club will go into that, and that will help pay for some of the banquet costs and their medals. And this year I'm ordering letterman patches for our National Honor Society. They don't really have any of that patches, pins, and medals for the club yet. But I'm sure once Eli gets on that and there's a patch for the club instead of National Honor Society, I'll be buying that too. Again, something else to give the student, the children, to help them say, hey, this is what I'm doing, and put it on their letterman's jacket or frame it or what have you. So those are the little things that really do make a large difference in our students' lives. A patch, you would think, oh, a $5, $10 patch, it's not a big deal. We're going to do that cost for our members. And that will kind of come with our membership and some of our fundraising. So we'll do that for them.
Gotcha. All right, Eli, what does it look like you for dues and fees and costs? So,
well, first off, if you look behind Kat right now, you can see the graduation medal and the pin.
Yeah.
I've been looking at that the whole time going, there's the medal. Wonderful. You know, we realize that to many of our students, that something as simple as a pin to show membership means a lot. So we keep prices down on everything. We do have graduation medal, which was draped in the red velvet there, and our membership pin, which really is the logo. We also have, as she said, the letterman patches, and that was huge. Student athletes that are in the program really wanted them. But also a lot of programs now. Yeah, what's the shirt look like? Oh, that's awesome. That looks so cool.
And of course we put our I don't know.
Oh,
if you can
that's
see.
Really nice. And it's got our slogan there, Studatus.
Oh, absolutely.
Studatus, which is study
yes.
to heal.
Study to heal.
Study to heal.
And actually, I don't know if you've, this is the Klein Collins. This is our gift that we gave out at the banquet.
Very
so if
cool.
If you're a student trainer, you got that. If you were also in National Honor Society,
very cool. Very
got
cool.
One, a couple of our members just had that with their name. But if you were dual, you got both sided.
That's very cool.
Yeah, we have patches, to little stickers too that you can put on your car.
That's so. And it's little things like that that just make make everything a little bit more personal for the students. And that's what we were really going for, is just giving them a way to feel appreciated. Something to belong. And to answer the question about the association, I'm actually picking up the pins. We've already had pins created, and I'm supposed to be picking them up next week. So we're looking into potentially graduation medals. We're not sure on that. But definitely Letterman patches too for the association. But I'm sorry, Jeremy, I just saw that, I had to go there.
My plaque's outside, but I keep the medal in here because I don't want it to disappear, walk away.
I understand. When we created everything, the board really believes in the KISS principle, keep it simple, because we are doing so much already. So we did try and tailor it around what a lot of our colleagues throughout the nation already did. And that's why we're finding a lot of our colleagues that are now coming into the organization don't have to really change much. As for dues at our school, at St. Francis High School, we're very fortunate. We're a little opposite of many other schools. We're funded very well. I'll be honest, I'm very fortunate where I am. And that's why I've been here for 19 years. They take great care of me. They let me create and develop programs like this and other things we do. And with that, we're not allowed to fundraise without permission of our president. However, we can go to them and say, okay, gentlemen, here are your dues. We have an activity fee. And as far as the Honor Society is concerned, we only charge the boys $5 to be in it. And we put that towards a banquet at the end of the year. If they would like to purchase the pins and medals and stuff, we kind of sit together, find out who wants what. We discuss it with the parents, and then we discuss it with club activities and see how much money the school is willing to put into it, or the students are allowed to. That way they're subsidized, and then the students will pay the difference. But again, it goes to, I'm kind of at an odd duck kind of school in that financially we're extremely sound. Some of my colleagues in the same situation of other private schools, they fundraise and they will put it towards the pins, the patches, and the graduation medals. And most schools that I've come across really try and keep the dues down, because we know the day-to-day struggles that some of our parents go through. And that's been kind of the humbling factor for me, is remembering I work at a very well-to-do school. But because of this and what we do outside the school, I'm reminded daily of how fortunate we are and that we need to give back. And that was one of the purposes of this, was to make sure we find a way to give back. And that's a big push at our school, is always finding a way to do service outside of our, wonderful facility and organization. So we always make sure there's a way to take care of others. We've, as an association, we waived fees when schools have been demolished by floods, which doesn't sound like much, but when you call a colleague, hey, we know what you guys have been through, don't worry about it, we got you covered this year. We've had other chapters find out that training rooms have been, 3-4 feet underwater, and they'll band together, get some stuff from their school district and send it to that school. So it's just, another way of helping each other get through the day-to-day life, which has been really gratifying to see. Hopefully that answered your question. I'm really good at getting on tangents. So,
well, we're all in it together.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And then,
Your school's able to fund it. Yeah, your school's able to fund it. That's the $20. I'm not going to have a student have to buy their own graduation, but I love the medal. Any graduating senior from our National Honor Society will get that medal.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, because they have the cords from the other National Honor Societies. So why not our students? Why not
exactly.
ours?
So, and that's why we created it. We wanted something to stand out. We thought about cords, and then we just, in the design of the coat of arms, we just sat there and loved it so much. We actually came across the academic decathlon team's medals and looked at them and went, those are nice. And all our school, if they win a medal, they wear it on graduation day. And that's where the thought came from. Well, can't we just take our coat of arms and create a graduation medal, just like the academic decathletes? And it's been a huge hit. Back to a question earlier, Jeremy, I neglected to point out, you asked about, has this helped a student or students get in programs? And I can say yes. One student in particular, and it always slips my mind, because he wasn't my student, but I've known him since he was a little boy. This organization, when they saw that on his application to an athletic training school education program in Utah, they were stunned. They actually looked at him and, you know, in the middle of his interview for the program asked, what is this honor society? And, you know, how are you an officer of an honor society in sports medicine? So he was engaged by the administration of the ATEP program on his interview. And one of the things they said is they were so impressed with what he had done while in high school through not just this organization's but other activities that it was a no-brainer. It was a slam dunk that he was in their program. So you see it, you hear it, but like we all know, we are in the background. So it's very hard every now and then to remember, hey, we gotta boast a little bit. We gotta talk about our profession, what we do. And that way they know we're not just the people stopping an athlete from playing because of a concussion. We're there to help them. We're helping them to learn about education, to learn about who they are and who they want to become. And I think that's just as important as our duty in healthcare.
I got you. So you may have mentioned this earlier, but they have to have a certain GPA, certain grade level, or is that site-based? And then also, do they, I know Kat said juniors and seniors were in hers. So talk briefly just about the academic requirement and then the grade level requirement.
Sure. Me or did you want Kat?
Oh, go ahead, Eli.
Okay, sorry.
I'll probably go second.
Sounds good. So really, we give a little latitude to the schools because we know academically every school is a little bit different. We know most schools do a 4.0 average, but as we've discovered, there are many schools that have a different GPA standard than others. So we mandate that in their athletic training educational program at the high school level, we ask that they have a minimum of a 3.2 or higher. And that can be adjusted according to the sites on schools. And that's really true with the NHS and other national honor societies. They will have a minimum standard nationally. We have a minimum standard of a 3.2 overall in sports medicine related courses, and the school can designate what those courses are. They must have, just like many other organizations, a minimum GPA. They must have a B average overall to apply. And with many organizations in the honor realm, you must be a second semester sophomore minimum to apply. And that's how it is standard across the realm of honor societies. So juniors and seniors are always eligible as long as they're academically eligible. And then the other key is to make sure they keep that GPA up. And we'll do GPA checks every quarter on our students. We've had several students pulled from not just the honor society, but from their team until they got their grades back up and they were in the appropriate academic realm. So many schools, even my school, we adjust it. They must have a 3.5 at St. Francis to in the program to be eligible, and they must have a 3.2 overall to apply.
Okay, that'll work. Kat, do you have anything to add to that?
We also follow the national guideline. 3.2 to apply, 3.5 in the sports medicine courses, 1, 2, and 3. Of course, they have an application that they have to fill out that gets reviewed by our, you know, our faculty advisors, me, to see if they meet it, because I need the registrar also to give that grade point. We do have AP honors. So sometimes it's not on a 4-point scale. Sometimes it's on a 6-point scale, depending on the courses that they take. So that's kind of into consideration. But they do actually have to be in sports medicine 1, 2, and/or 3. I've kind of set that up as freshman, sophomore, junior. We do let our sophomores, like Eli said, apply second semester. So in March, National Athletic Training Month, I send out mass emails and tweets and announcements for anybody interested to get an application, and we review that March and April, and then April, May, when we have our end of the year banquet, that's when we do our installation. So kind of an all-in-one, because again, we really don't have the the free day and the time to do a installation of our members in the fall when they actually become juniors. But they know I give them the pin. We go over everything in front of the parents at our banquet. And then when they come back their junior year, they are a member. And that first couple of weeks when we have our first meeting, they pay their dues and this is what we're doing. And we go from there. As far as the club's concerned, this year we're going to invite them to the banquet as well. And then hopefully, we've been talking it up. Our sophomores that are in the club, you're going to start applying for the National Honor Society. Let's get the grades going, that type of stuff, so that hopefully it will be a seamless transition, especially in our Sports Medicine 1 where we have 60 students. We potentially could have 60 students in our club. And then hopefully when they become sophomores moving over to Sports Medicine 2, or if they're already sophomores taking Sports Medicine 1, they can start applying for their National Honor Society. And hopefully that will give them an additional incentive, those that aren't in athletics, to stay eligible and to help with their grade. And if not, they can always still be in the club, even if they are a junior or a senior. If they don't qualify for National Honor Society, they still have a club on their resume. And so that will help them out.
Okay, that gives me a lot of good stuff. Actually, it kind of causes a problem because the kids that I have, I don't know that they would have a 3.2 in average or a B average in all of their courses. So I'm gonna have to look at that before we
no problem
doing it. But
it's in a really. I had a few of them. Are they getting A's in the sports medicine course? How many sports medicine courses do you have? That also the character has a lot to do with it. I have like a 4-page application. They also have to do an essay, 500, I don't even know, essay on leadership and things of that nature, and have some goals. So I think the good thing about the National Honor Society of Sports Medicine is that, yes, it is a academic sports medicine National Honor Society, just like, you know, regular National Honor Society, French, Spanish, what have you. But we take into consideration the sports medicine courses. And I've also included the HST type courses as well. So if they're, you know, spot on that, and maybe, you know, English might be a little bit 71, 72, the faculty advisors take that into consideration. So we, you know, I'm not going to say no to a kid who is doing outstanding in all but one class, because not everybody is a math genius or a science genius or an English genius. But as long as they stay eligible and stay out of trouble. We did have an instance this year where one of our National Honor Society members came to me in tears before the AP let me know that she was caught cheating. She would let somebody look at her paper. And she was just up in arms because she knew that, she knew that would be automatic removal. So I talked to her, talked to the teacher, talked to my fellow advisors, and she was on probation instead of just being totally removed. Because again, I know that I'm strict with some of the rules, but you have to take a step back and what's best for the students. We don't want to totally annihilate the students because they are kids. They're supposed to make mistakes.
All right, Eli, we just talked about if someone wants to get more information, they can contact you, email you. What's the best way to contact you?
Let's give you two emails. They all work, but it depends on the server that's working, which one I get. So my first name, Eli, at nhssm.org. My work email, ehallick, ehallak, at the initials of the high school I work at sfhs.net. So St. Francis High School, sfhs.net. Social media, we've got a few things going. We've got Facebook. We have our NHSSM Facebook page. And we also have a St. Francis High School Sports Medicine page, and it's St. Francis High School Sports Med, all one word, and then NHSSM, I believe it's NHSSM for the Facebook. And we post a lot of information, or as our events come up, we have our annual Staples Center event coming up. We're actually branching out this year and doing one in North Carolina. We're hoping to talk with our colleague. We've been in discussion with helping our colleagues in Kansas do one in Kansas with the Kansas City soccer team. So we're doing one with the Charlotte Hornets this year.
Kat, someone wants to get a hold of you. Best way to do that?
Klein Collins High School. You can reach me in the athletic training room, 832-484-5170. Of course, my school email, CMARR with the number 2, so CMR2 at Klein, KLEINISD.net. Or, of course, my Yahoo, Kat, CAT underscore Mar, MARR at yahoo.com.
All right. This was a great conversation today with Eli Hallett, Kat Mar, about the National Honor Society for Sports Medicine. A great opportunity for you to gain school board recognition, community recognition for the work, but also a great opportunity for kids to belong, to be a part of something, to be involved, and to get some recognition that which they normally wouldn't. So these are hardworking kids. We know that. We are athletic trainers. And this is an opportunity for us to make their work with us a little bit more valuable. So contact Eli, contact Kat, find out more about this, or visit the website, which again is nhssm.org, and try and get involved, try and do that. And if it doesn't work for you, then that's okay, but tell somebody else about it. Maybe you got a friend or a buddy that does have this situation and can make this work. And so just help them along. And Eli is obviously a very helpful resource. He's got lots of time on his hands because he doesn't have anything else going on, apparently. So
nothing at all.
Again, if you want to reach him, hit up his email, which is in the show notes here, or it's eli@nhssm.org. It's also on that webpage. So if you just remember the National Honor Sports or Society for Sports Medicine, nhssm.org, it'll have his contact information, the best way to get a hold of him from there. So I am Jeremy Jackson for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Don't want to forget to tell you about the new association with MedBridge. So you can use the SMB is your promo code if you're doing MedBridge education, MedBridge online learning for your CEUs. Check that out. Again, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/NHS. Eli, Kat, and for Jeremy, that is a wrap.